This podcast is part of the Bad Wolf Network. Visit badwolf.com for information on all other shows. Hello and welcome to episode 282 of the Bad Wolf Podcast. I'm Martin, and joining me this week, I've Jared.
Hello, mate. How are you doing, bruv?
I'm all right. Love, how are you doing? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while, actually. It has been quite a while that we've done a podcast together. Have you been doing podcasts without me?
Yes, we have launched the Bad Wolf Network now. So Bad Wolf Network. Yeah, we have another podcast called Running Down Corridors, which I do with Chris and Sam. And up there now, we have done Legends of the Sea Devils, which was the last Doctor Who special. So if you are a listener who likes the Doctor Who content, our link in the description below, you're going to have to resubscribe to another podcast. Sam yesterday interviewed Jacob Hawley, who is a stand-up comedian that is starring currently in an audio play for BBC Sounds called Doctor Who Redacted. So that'll be going up on the Running Down Corridors feed pretty soon.
Okay, I have a question, but why did you call it Running Down Corridors?
Because in classic Doctor Who, they're always running down corridors.
Okay, that's quite funny. It's like our name with Bad Wolf.
Yeah. Sam kind of brought it up that it felt like our podcast had ADHD because you'd get 6 weeks in a row where it's me, him and Chris talking about Doctor Who. And then me and you would be talking about a film from 1982. And then coincidentally, I would book like three or four interviews back to back. And then it looks like an interview show. So anyone who was coming on for then would think it was an interview show. And then they'd get three idiots talking about Doctor Who. And we just figured this way, it's a bit tidier. People know where to go for certain things. So this main show is going to remain film and TV news and stuff like that.
Is he trying to have a go at us ADHD people?
He didn't use those words. I'm just kind of paraphrasing him.
Oh, you better be paraphrasing.
News, mate, news. It's just been announced that Mission Impossible 7 will be called Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1.
I thought the last Mission Impossible was going to be the last one.
There's two more on the way, so there's 7 and 8.
Are they going to do a 10 stitch like Fast and Furious?
Oh, who knows? I think 8 is going to be the last one.
Oh, okay.
Probably be the last one with Tom Cruise anyway.
Yeah.
Have you seen that Justin Lin talking about Fast and Furious 10? He's pulled out.
Yeah. He said he's going to remain as a producer.
Yeah.
But he's not doing the directing. But do you know why? Because I didn't read the actual...
Couldn't find any kind of source speaking about why, but he's remaining as a producer. So I guess everything's still kind of good. Maybe his workload's probably just a bit too heavy.
Oh, could be.
So yeah. And everyone on the internet was saying they should call it Fast 10 - your seatbelts.
Hyphen your seatbelt.
But that joke got run into the ground pretty quickly on Twitter.
Yeah, see, that's a good name, and then it gets ruined.
Yeah, what do you think of the Fast and Furious films?
I love them.
Yeah, same. They keep making them. I keep seeing them.
They keep making them. I keep seeing them. Mate, I don't care. I don't take them seriously. Just a bit of action, bit of fun, doing stupid things. You think, what have they not done? What have they not done? What are they going to do this time? What have they not done? So what are they going to do?
And the heel turn that franchise took starts off as kind of like a Point Break ripoff. You know, they're stealing DVD players, etc. And now they're like international spies or something. How many franchises have pulled off such a heel turn like that?
You know, I don't know. Because like you said, Mission Impossible has near enough stayed on the same type of crazy adventure or spy games. He hasn't gone from like one thing as like racing and stealing stuff to them being complete like 180 doing something completely different. Still having crazy cars. Well, the cars even get more crazier. I don't know of anything that's gone on long enough to a franchise that's had that many many films that's done something like that. Or I can say that's done something that you started at one point and changed to a different point.
Yeah, and I mean, going along the lines of sequels, Sony had their big presentation yesterday. They announced sequels to Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Yeah.
And Venom. Have you seen the Venom films? What do you make of those?
I've seen the first one. I haven't seen the second one.
I really disliked the first one. The second one was a lot of fun. It's like they took everything that worked about the first one and then just kind of made it slimline. And it was only 90 minutes.
I don't mind long films. When it comes to it being like, it's like short, that's great. But I don't mind long, as long as it's quite good or fast paced. And it keeps you hooked. I don't mind long films. But if a film's like a film's long and then there's parts you could remove, then yeah, I can understand that. But I'm going on a tangent. I digress.
Well, it's mostly because I got this issue with my hips. So it kind of hurts me to sit down for too long or to stand for too long. So like a 90-minute film is kind of perfect.
Because of your hips, it's taught you how to enjoy a film in a shorter span. And now you've realized that you can cut bits and pieces out of a film and make it shorter, make it work for you. So you can sit down within that time frame and watch and enjoy a film. And it still have a good plot to it.
What do you think about Ghostbusters getting a sequel? Because I know we both really enjoyed that film.
Of course, I'm happy. I'm happy. They did a good job with that film. I enjoyed that film. So if they are going to do another one, I'm happy for them to do another one. As long as it's enjoyable as the first film. And as long as it's got my favorite character in it.
A podcast.
Yeah, podcast.
Yeah, he was good. He was good. I thought he was going to be really annoying at first.
Nah, podcast had me. Podcast had me giggling away. Podcast is a joker.
They all work him. Really well. They also announced that the Spider-Verse films are being pushed back a year each. So Across the Spider-Verse now comes out in 2024.
Jesus and Christ.
Beyond the Spider-Verse now comes out in 2025.
Oh my word.
Have you seen Into the Spider-Verse?
Yes, I have.
It's the best Spider-Man movie of all time.
Yeah, everybody enjoyed it. Well, a lot of people enjoyed it. Of course, there's going to be some cynics, but I enjoyed it. Personally, I enjoyed it. I liked it.
I'm up to meet anyone behind Lidl for a scrap if they don't like that film.
Which Lidl, though?
Epsom, mate. I ain't going too far from my house.
No, okay. I was gonna go and meet you for a scrap, but then I was like, what's the point? I actually enjoyed it.
And we're mates.
Yeah. But still, man, scrap's a scrap, bro. This is boom, bro. A scrap's a scrap.
That's true. Have you heard of the Morbius fallout that's kind of come along now?
No.
So a bunch of vampire movies that were in development have now been halted, and it's basically down to Morbius flopping. Hollywood has kind of taken that nobody wants a vampire film.
Not that, because it was poorly written, poorly directed, and poorly acted.
People just have a real problem with our Lord and Savior, Gerard Leto.
Yeah, our Lord and Savior. I love him. I have a picture of him in my pleasure dungeon.
And, you know, people got really sick of, like, all this method acting chat came out about him from the film. You know, he was making him push him Suicide in a wheelchair Squad. To the toilet.
Yeah, Scott's, like, Suicide Squad and push. Oh, my God, he was doing that. He was still doing his method acting in the thing, but as well.
Yeah, apparently in Morbius, when he had to use his crutches.
Yeah.
He was in between. So if he needed to go for a piss, he was going on the crutches to the toilet. And it was taking like 20 minutes too long. So they, in the end, they had to put him in a wheelchair to take him to the toilet. But I will say, as someone who occasionally has to use a walking stick.
Yeah.
One of my biggest pet peeves is when I watch a film or a TV show and there's an actor there, you can just tell instantly that motherfucker has never held that stick in his life. And I never got that feeling from Morbius.
Well, he is a method actor. He most probably practiced and spoke to people who have disabilities with their legs.
And he stopped aging about 20 years ago for the role.
Oh, yeah, of course he stopped aging. That's why they thought, let's choose him. Dude is like, what is he, 50, 52?
Yeah, and you know what's weird is he's 10 years older than Matt Smith, but they play childhood best friends, and you never question the age gap because he looks younger than Matt Smith.
Oh, my God.
Big Finish had a big convention recently in Derby. Paul McGann revealed, you remember Stephen Moffat's Sherlock with Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yeah.
Yeah, originally it was going to be Paul McGann and Richard E. Grant.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, as Watson and Sherlock. But he didn't really go into it too much detail about why it didn't happen, but they were first approached. That would have been too distracting for me to see with Noel and I up on there being Sherlock and Watson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was kind of better because Benedict Cumberbatch at that point, he was pretty much unknown.
That is true. Yeah, and after the first season aired. Well, I would say Martin Freeman, but because I saw him in Galaxies. Oh my God, I forgot
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Thank you.
Well, Martin Freeman at the time, people were skeptical of him playing a serious role because he'd been known for comedy.
Yeah.
And now people see him as this serious, dramatic actor, and they were surprised when he turns up in a comedy.
Yeah, but I was like, no, he can do both.
Yeah, and at Big Finish Day, it was also revealed that Joe Martin and Sacha Dhawan are getting their own box sets. Now, you dipped out of Doctor Who back in the Capaldi era, right? So you won't be aware of who either of these are.
No, not even the Capaldi era. I was very before the Capaldi era. I was Matt Smith, mate.
Oh, I thought you... Yeah, actually, yeah.
I tried the Capaldi, couldn't get into it. Like, the first few episodes, I was like, cool, but then I was like, nah, that's not for me. Matt Smith was Matt Smith.
So basically, in the Chris Chibnall era,
yeah,
he's changed the whole of Doctor Who canon. So William Hartnell is no longer the first Doctor. There were a million Doctors before William Hartnell.
Okay.
And Jo Martin plays one of them, and she's called the Fugitive Doctor. And she was so good in the role. People have been calling her for her to get her own TV spin-off and stuff like that, but now she's getting Big Finish. And Sacha Dhawan is playing, he plays the Master in the current era, and he's going to be doing it for Big Finish. It's the quickest turnaround between a Doctor and Master being on screen to them doing Big Finish.
Oh.
So it's going to be really interesting. Yeah, Sacha Dhawan is incredible as the Master. The two really good things to come out of this current era of Doctor Who is Jo Martin and Sacha Dhawan.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can't wait to hear these box sets.
Oh, okay, okay.
And yeah, I guess Robert Pattinson has officially signed up for the Batman sequel.
I thought he wasn't going to do it.
Can you imagine if it was like the old days where they just used to drop out?
Yep.
And then you get like Michael Keaton doing two, then Val Kilmer doing one, then George Clooney. The good old days.
Oh, the good old days, man. I love the good old days when you get these different Batman just coming up, and then now they're defying them. Now they defy them and change them over.
Yeah. Shazam Fury of the Gods has been pushed back to the 21st of December this year.
Oh, okay.
I really like the first film.
I didn't realize they had started filming for the second film.
Yeah, and they've also got Black Adam, which is coming out this year, I believe, with The Rock.
Okay.
And in the comics, Black Adam is kind of Shazam's villain. But in the films, because it's The Rock, they're making him more anti-hero.
I don't know why. The Rock can play bad people. He has played bad people in the past. He can play bad people. Why would they do it? Because he's so famous now.
It annoys me with The Rock, because if you look at the roles like John Cena's taken on now, that's what The Rock used to do 20 years ago.
Exactly. It's like, come on, man. That dude can do that. He has a range of acting skills. He played good, bad, and evil when he wanted to, when he was actually The Rock in WrestleMania and in the beginning of his acting career. Why now? Because he's so famous that he can't play that. He has to play the anti-hero and not play a bad guy.
Yeah, I remember the first time I took him seriously as an actor. It was, you know, the film Get Shorty. It's got a sequel called Be Cool.
Yeah.
And Be Cool, it's a terrible film, but The Rock is fantastic. He plays a gay hitman.
Yeah.
And he is spectacular. And that was the first film where I was like, this guy can actually act. Because you've kind of seen wrestlers try to break out into films before.
Yes.
With varying success before The Rock.
Yes.
And I saw on Twitter somebody posted pictures of The Rock, and they were from four different films, but he's all dressed very similarly. They're all in the jungle. It could be the same film if you didn't know any better.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Mate, are you a fan of like Harry Potter and all that?
Yeah, I've seen all the films.
Fantastic Beasts 3 is flopping pretty hard.
Yeah, because of Johnny Depp, I believe.
I think there's a number of factors. Like, depends which camp you're in, because a lot of people were like, oh, it's J.K. Rowling and her anti-trans tweet.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
And it's Johnny Depp and it's Ezra Miller choking people out in the street and robbing couples and all of that. I think this all plays a part. But I think the biggest issue, because all this J.K. Rowling stuff, the Johnny Depp stuff, the Ezra Miller stuff, this was all known when the second film came out. But the second film still did well. I think what the biggest problem is, the Fantastic Beasts trilogy started off as a bloke looking for mythical creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second one takes this real heel turn. It's about a wizard war. It's terrible. And then the third one is about a horse that picks the president.
A horse that picks the president.
The heel turn hasn't happened in a fun way, like the Fast and Furious. It's just kind of happened in a way where you're like, what? Dumbledore's kind of hijacked these prequels and they're now about him. And it's like, well, why don't you just make a prequel about Dumbledore? So I think when you combine all of that with all the other stuff that's going on with J.K. Rowling and Johnny Depp and Ezra Miller, I think that's why people aren't turning up for this. I haven't gone to see it yet.
Yeah, I'm not going to go and see it. Forget that. There's a whole lot of things I want to go and see, but the person I go to the cinema with is going to be useless to me very, very soon. So I'm just going to have to sit and wait.
We should tell listeners that the feed might go quiet for a little bit because I'm having some surgery next week.
He says it's like it's a minor thing.
It's a hip replacement. The recovery time is anywhere between 3 weeks to 3 months. Just entirely depends on the person and how well the surgery goes.
Yeah. They might chop off his leg and forget to attach it back on. I shouldn't laugh because that could actually happen. I'll take that back. I'm sorry. I'm taking that one back. Touch wood, everything goes well.
So Avatar 2 has got a title. It's called Avatar: The Way of the Water.
Who cares? The first film came out like 80 years ago. Who cares?
That film came out when my son was one. He turns 14 this year.
See what I mean? 80 years ago. What the hell?
Well, the thing about the Avatar film is if you didn't watch it at the IMAX in London, you know, like that proper big one.
Yes.
You got no benefit from the film. I remember really loving it when I went to see it at the IMAX. And it came on TV like 2 or 3 years later. And I was like, oh, yeah, that was a magical film. I'm going to put it on. It didn't work on a normal TV. And I think people have kind of forgotten how groundbreaking the effects were and stuff.
I still remember that. I still remember that now, that the amount of horsepower in those computers they had to build special computers to be able to handle the graphics.
The second one, it's taken so long because James Cameron wanted to film a bunch of stuff underwater.
Nicolas Cage, good or bad? A challenge, certainly, but not unsolvable, because all actors have distinct values, which I use to find answers.
Abed, how much Nicolas Cage did you...
Enough! I watched enough to find the answers. Because this is my reality. This is how I learned to be. And my being doesn't allow for Nicolas freaking Cage, okay? Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! Oh! Oh! I'm a sexy cat.
Mate, what are some of your favorite Nicolas Cage films?
Con Air, Snake Eyes, the one in the prison, I forgot what it's called. When he's with Sean Connery and he teaches him how to escape. The Rock.
Birdie's good. Leaving Las Vegas is good.
Leaving Las Vegas is all right. I completely forgot about that.
It's one of those things where you ask someone what their favorite Nicolas Cage film is and you're never going to get the same answer.
Yeah.
It's like you never get the same Nick Cage in any film either. You don't know what performance he's going to turn in. He's either going to be the best thing in the film or the worst thing in the film. And there's no middle line.
Yep.
I really liked him in a Spider-Man Noir and Into the Spider-Verse. I thought he was phenomenal in that.
Who did he play?
Spider-Man Noir, the black and white one.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Oh, you know what? I didn't even notice. Didn't even know that he played Spider-Man Noir.
Yeah, and he finally got to play Superman kind of in Teen Titans Go to the Movies. He voiced Superman.
Oh, nice.
Which was cool because he was famously meant to play Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the last live action thing I saw him in before this most recent film is Kick-Ass.
Yes, Kick-Ass. I forgot about that. Did good in that as well.
He got into a lot of debt with the IRS and stuff, and he had to do a bunch of straight for VOD movies.
Yeah.
So he was like putting out like 12 films a year or something crazy like that.
Oh, wow.
Anyone who could pay him $1 million, they got him.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you know how much it costs to get Snoop Dogg on one of your tracks if you wanted him on a rap?
250, bro. Yeah. 250. And if you want him on a video, another 250. And you play for an hour.
Yeah, I saw that today.
That had me in tears when I saw that. 250. What? Really? 250? Yeah, 250. Yeah, I'll see 16 bars. And then if you want me on a video, another 250. But then you got me for an hour, so you need to hurry up.
Maybe we could do a GoFundMe to get him to sing a theme song for us.
I'd rather spend that. I have better ways to spend that 250, my friend. Than on Snoop. I love him. I love him. Love him to death. But no.
Nick Cage. Oh my God. I love you.
Nick Cage.
Nick, you've been living at the Sunset Tower for over a year.
They love having me there.
You owe them $600,000.
Okay, I'm going to deal with all that.
But I'm going to get this next role. And when I do, all of that changes. Then I'm back.
Not that you went anywhere.
Nicolas Cage, oh my God. I love you.
Okay.
He was so good in The Rock.
What about Gone in 60 Seconds?
Have you seen Croods 2?
No, I'm 44 years old.
Why would I see Croods 2? I've seen Face Off and Con Air.
We got another offer.
What's it about?
You head to southern Spain and you attend a wealthy gentleman's birthday party.
I would never do that.
It's $1 million, Nick.
I'll take it. The guy that owns this house, what's his name?
Javi.
Yeah, Javi.
Mr. Cage.
Excuse me. Is Javi going to want me to, you know?
I'm not sure I understand.
Look, it's Javi.
I am Javi.
Nick Cage.
Nicolas Cage? That's freaking cool.
I am so happy that you're here.
Is this supposed to be me? It's grotesque. I'll give you 20,000 for it. What have you got there?
Divine inspiration.
I'm paranoid.
Let's just get up on the count of three and run.
They're coming!
Grab my hand. You're heavier than you look.
I have a very big head.
You go!
I'll never forget you, Rams.
Mr. Cage? It turns out we could have just walked around.
Wow, I guess so.
All right, so we went to see The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
Brilliant film.
Yeah, Jared, what were your first thoughts of this film?
So cheesy. Brilliant film. Happy in tears.
Yeah, it's cheesy, but in a good Nick Cage kind of way.
But it's brilliant.
Yeah, because when the director first conceived the idea, he kind of wrote it without Nick Cage's knowledge, and he was sending it to Nick Cage's people, and they were like, okay, yeah, you got to change this, you got to change that before we show it to Nick. And then it got to the point where he went to Lionsgate before he had even gone to Nicolas Cage, because he wanted to get a deal in place first so that he could go, right, we got this. And Nicolas Cage's idea was to get Christian Bale to play him. That's what he wanted. He didn't want to do it. And one of Nicolas Cage's stipulations is because the original script had him as like a real absentee father.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, I'm not an absentee father. Like, I turned down Lord of the Rings to be there for my baby son. Like, you can't betray me that way. And he wanted it to be very clear to the audience that this was a fictionalized version of himself.
Yeah.
Which is why, because in real life, he has two sons. But in the film, he's got a daughter.
Yeah.
What did you make of his overall performance in this?
Brilliant. Nick Cage being Nick Cage, just older.
Yeah, it's great seeing Sharon Horgan in this.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's great to see her getting so much play. And Pedro Pascal is incredible in this.
Yeah, but it's Pedro Pascal, man.
Oh, Mando himself.
Pedro Pascal, man. He's a G. I love him to death. If I could meet him, I'd be so happy. One of my favorite actors. But they do say don't meet your heroes in real life.
Oh, that's why I never want to meet anyone involved with Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. But it seems so cool. When I see him like doing interviews and stuff, he seems like such a cool person.
Everyone online calls him Daddy.
Yeah, I saw that. Like when he's him or what's his name who's in Moon Knight.
Oscar Isaacs.
Yeah, Oscar Isaac. It's like him, you Oscar Isaac. Who's the daddy? It's like, well, he actually has children, but I'm the daddy. But come on now, I'm older, I'm the daddy. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I remember Pedro Pascal when he was in Buffy.
You know what? I didn't even know he was in Buffy. And then he was talking about it in the interview I saw, and I saw a little young version of him. I was like, what the hell? I didn't even notice him. Maybe because during that time, I was always too busy asking questions and getting yelled at.
He would have been a bit part back then. Like, he would have just been like a day player.
Yeah.
But yeah, their friendship in this is so believable that even when you think that Pedro Pascal's the bad guy, you like him.
Yeah, I was like, because that's the thing. I was like, is he the bad guy? Because I was like, he can't be the bad guy. Is he the bad guy? But then you find out, like, well, I don't even want to. Spoiler alert. He's not really the bad guy. His cousin is the bad guy. But I warned you. Spoiler alert first. I said, if you wanted to continue, that's your problem. But yeah. And then he's like you said, he's such a lovable character. And I was like, oh, I don't really want him to be the bad guy because he's such a nice character. And the way he shows his love to Nicolas Cage and his fandom to Nicolas Cage, it's like, oh, come on, you can't be the bad guy, man.
The FBI think that Pedro Pascal has kidnapped someone and they recruit Nicolas Cage because coincidentally he's been offered $1 million by Pedro Pascal to spend. spend the weekend with him.
Yeah.
And I like it when Nick is trying to get in that secret room. And yeah. It's like, oh, Nick, you can't go in there. Why can't show me? And then he eventually talks him in, and it's just basically a room that's a shrine to Nick Cage.
Yep, on all his films.
Yeah. I thought that was incredible. Oh, we didn't mention Face Off when we were talking about.
Oh my god. That's literally one of my most favorite films. I completely forgot. Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
So this film, it's great. It's a great comedy. There were fewer people in the cinema than I thought there would be.
I was happy about that. I want them to do well and have loads of people come and see it. But at the same time, I don't want somebody at the back of me talking or kicking the back of my chair because I don't want to go to jail.
Well, it's just this weird thing. I always see on Twitter people moaning that, oh, another sequel's coming. Oh, another reboot's coming. Another remake's coming. It's Hollywood all out of ideas. And then you get something like this and nobody shows up for it.
Yeah, because they say it, don't do it.
And I get it. Like in my own life, like if I want to take the kids to the cinema, we live in like South London. If I want to take them to the cinema, you're looking at 55 quid just on tickets for four people. So I get it. And there have been times where, am I going to go and take them to see this new original kids movie that I've got no idea what it is? Or am I going to go and take them to see the Marvel movie that I know they liked the last one too?
Yeah.
And, brands win out, and I get that. But, we got Northman out at the moment. We got this out at the moment. Yeah. We got a film about a multiverse coming up called Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. That comes out 2 days before Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. What one do you think is going to do better?
Exactly.
But, there's just, three films out at the moment that are original ideas, and nobody's showing up for them.
Yeah, because everybody's scared to. I don't even know why.
I think it's the money thing, and I think that Marvel has become such a dominant force at the box office.
Yeah, well, that's true.
The age of the movie stars dead. There was a time where if you put Robert De Niro in a film, that film was selling out. If you put Michael Caine in a film, that film was selling out. That's no longer the case anymore. Like, if this film had come out 10 years ago with Nick Cage, it would have sold out.
Oh, yeah.
As much as I enjoy the Marvel films and the superhero stuff, they've done irreparable damage to the movie industry. I can't even remember the last comedy I went to see at the cinema before this. Genuinely, it might be The Hangover.
No, I can't think of anything either, actually, off the top of my head.
I really loved it. It's a decent comedy. It's kind of that meta thing that Nick Cage had done before with Adaptation. That's another good film.
Yeah, but like you said, that came out years ago.
Yeah, like 2003?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a brilliant film. Or being John Malkovich.
Oh, that's a great film.
That's a brilliant film.
Yeah, I feel like we used to get this type of film a lot. And I guess like Ricky Gervais did it with Extras around the same time as well.
And that done well. But these days, like you said, these days, like people are on a different thought level and it's very hard to bring out different films. Like I forgot the name of the film. The one with the robots and the kaiju. Pacific Rim came out. That surprisingly done well. And that was so unique. I mean, it wasn't that unique because you've seen like TV shows and stuff like that, but for somebody to do that as a feature type film.
I can't remember the last comedy I went to. And I watched a comedy on Netflix a couple of years ago, and it's got a cameo from Keanu Reeves. It's called Always Be My Maybe. And when I was watching it, I was thinking like 20 years ago, this would have been the big summer blockbuster romantic comedy.
Yeah.
But now it's on Netflix.
Yeah, well, we're getting older. We have children. We're too busy to do stuff. The only things we can really go and do is go and see children's films, unless we get the time to go and hang out with our friends and go see a film if we want to. All the younger generation like to go and see these big explosions, things that all the older generations spoken about. The younger generation that's like, oh, yeah, we know about this. Sorry, like Marvel. Marvel, I can't even really say DC because that messed up so bad, but mostly Marvel. But all the new things that like the older generation haven't spoken about or don't go and see because we're too busy, the younger generation are going to go see and say, oh, they haven't spoken about this, so I don't know if this is going to be worth my while. You know how they try to be woke and everything.
Yeah, one thing I did like about going back onto the Nicolas Cage film we had to talk about is like the deep cuts. Like there's a bunch of references to like little films that you might not be aware of, but if you get them, they kind of add more to the joke. Like I love that he's got this alter ego called Nicky that only he sees, And it's a de-aged version of Nicolas Cage. And he's in that outfit they wore on Terry Wogan when he's clearly on cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing like backflips and stuff like that. And I kind of loved that kind of to and fro. And it kind of reminded me a bit of Adaptation. I would just recommend seeing this to people.
Yeah, I would too. I enjoyed the film. It's really, really cheesy, like proper cheesy, but it is so funny.
But in a good way. And I like, got the ending like a mile off. I was like, oh, they're going to do the Get Shorty thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, but it's good. And yeah, Pedro Pascal, amazing. The chemistry between him and Nick Cage is just phenomenal. I loved it when they were on mushrooms and they think those two guys are following him, but they
were on LSD.
LSD, that's it. But they're just two completely separate people. Yeah, I'm just going to gush about this film. So maybe we should start wrapping this up.
Yes, let's do that. I enjoyed it. I think it was a good film. And if you do want to go see it, it is now out now on the cinema. So I watch it while you can.
Yeah, highly recommend.
Yeah.
Yeah. So please, if this was your first time, please go back, check out our back catalogue. Also, if you follow us for Doctor Who content, please subscribe to our new podcast, Running Down Corridors. We've had an amazing response to the first couple of episodes that have gone up, but we need some iTunes ratings. If people could go on Apple Podcasts and rate us, we would highly appreciate that.
Do it.